and joining us from the San Francisco Chronicle. Nice to have him here, Henry Schulman. Henry, we wait all year for kind of the meaningful games of September, and here they are.
Yeah, and they're a lot of fun. It's just a different feel around here. The scoreboard watching, which obviously nobody really has to do this weekend, but every pitch is heightened. The crowd just has a little more energy. And this is what makes it fun. This is what makes those those July dreary games, midweek games against the Rockies mean something.
Well, what a season though of ups and downs. I always say, I say the book you get every day and another chapter in the mosaic, and I use all the phrases, but this one really, I mean, the tremendous start. The middle where you couldn't do anything right if you're a Giants player, then all of a sudden in August the light comes on and here we go. This is one of those unusual seasons.
Maybe the most unusual that I've covered in a long time, if ever. I mean, I don't know if a team that has lost 15 games in the standings at one point to go from 9.5 up to 5.5 down has ever come back and won a division. I don't know the answer to that, but it's really crazy. Kind of speaks to a little bit to the parity in the league. I think there were times early in the season when it looked like the Giants were going to run away with it. Then there were times when it looked like the Giants, who knows, might even fall back to 500. And right now the Giants are a playoff team. I mean, I think they're going to be in the playoffs one way or the other, even if that is that one-game crapshoot, against another wild card team. A lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Henry Schulman with us from the Chronicle. Henry, you and I talk baseball all the time, and it's a great time of year to do it. And I was thinking on the way in today, if I had to say, what was the one thing that turned this team around? Can you point to one thing that maybe over something else?
Well, it really is hard to point to one thing. This is kind of what we always look for. The one thing I have to point to is Joe Panik coming on, and we've seen this. Year after year with team after team. Sometimes it's a player who comes in via trade like Marco Scudero. Sometimes it's a kid who comes up from the system and adds a little youth and vitality to the team. But they started turning things around really when Angel Pagan came back and the lineup could sort of be, back to normal, so to speak, whatever that was. It's a different lineup now than it was then because Panik wasn't hitting second. Hunter Pence was. But the offense, I mean, we just talked about this before we went on the air. I mean, the biggest shock to me in this turnaround is that an offense that just looked so dead for so long could all of a sudden be the highest scoring team in baseball since the All-Star break. I mean, it's just nutty.
It's 621 runs. I did a little math in my head before coming in. I think it's like 4.2 runs a game right now, and you put that out over 162 games, you're getting close to 700 runs for this
team. And 700 has been the magic number just about in this championship era.
Wow.
They had 700, 690 to 700 in both 2010 and 2012, and then in the years that they didn't, they were in the low sixes or even the high fives.
Wow. All right, Henry Schulman with us. Another one I don't want to overlook is Blanco. And, we did the shows, you wrote about everything, and here we were in April and May and June. The bench was 5-86. No one could do anything off the bench, Blanco included. He started, I don't know, like 60 of the last 75 games or something, hitting over 300. He's been a tremendous asset.
Yeah, I think Gregor is just one of those players, and I think it's kind of been proven now over several years that when he has, I wouldn't say a subordinate role, but when he's not expected to carry the offense or carry the top of the lineup or whatnot, he does exceedingly well. The two times he's been asked to take over for Angel Pagan, he has not.
Yeah.
So he is a role player in a way, even if the role is to play every day while a guy like Michael Morris is out. But down there in that part of the lineup, I think he and Arias also have shown that you just don't give up on player in this rotisserie era we live in now. A guy in April and May who's proven to be a good type of player, and all of a sudden they're not producing, and all of a sudden get rid of them, just find somebody else. Well, you don't do that. Do that in baseball.
No,
you have faith that you have faith that these guys who have a track record, who are not 38 years old, are gonna come around and hit their averages. And those two guys have been a huge help. So is Travis Ishikawa. So have Andrew Susak. It's just been all throughout the lineup and the bench.
Boy, amazing. Henry, you're a Bay Area guy. You're a Southern California guy as well. Giants-Dodgers for you? You just hear the phrase Giants-Dodgers. Does it ring a little bit something for you?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When I was growing up in Los Angeles, I was a teenager in the 70s. That rivalry lost a little bit of its luster. Yeah. It was more Dodgers-Reds at the time, because after the Giants won the division in 1971, they went through the long lull, as we all know. It lasted for quite a long time. The big red machine came along. And when I was 14, 15, 16 years old in Los Angeles, we didn't get pumped about Giants-Dodgers. Yeah. We got pumped when Pete Rose was coming into town, and Joe Morgan and Tony Perez and Johnny Bench and those guys. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, there's just a different feel to these games. I it's hard to explain if you're not here at the ballpark, but you just see all the people in the crowd wearing blue here, and then when we're in L.A., all the people wearing the black and orange. It's more of a college football atmosphere here, and it's just something different.
Yeah, pretty good. And tonight, obviously, it's going to be 6:05 start tonight. Zach Greinke and Tim Hudson tonight. Just going back to last night a little bit, 4 runs in the first inning, started by Joe Panik off of Ryu, and they knocked him out. They knocked him out big time because his shoulder started hurting. But how about that first inning last night? It sort of set the tone for the whole night and kind of took the crowd out of the game a little bit. You didn't hear Beat L.A. until Adrian Gonzalez went 4-for-32 against Bumgarner in that fifth inning.
Yeah, there was a little Beat L.A. after Buster hit that RBI double after Panics. But, yeah, I mean, that was huge. Last night was the one game in the series where you pretty much said this is the one the Giants should win. They got their ace on the mound. The Giants have been able to hit Ryu before, even when he's been healthy. Yeah. He has not dominated the Giants at all. And, I mean, it was big. I mean, I thought it was a bad sign for the Giants when they couldn't tack on with the bases loaded and nobody out. Those are the kind of moments where you look, when it happens, you go, boy, you hope that doesn't come back to haunt the team. Yeah. But then when Bumgarner threw that 12-pitch walk to Turner, ended up loading the bases, then got out of it, Crawford hits the 2-run homer in the bottom of the inning, and you knew they had it.
Life is good when the end of the order takes care of business like that, isn't it? It's funny in baseball. Life is good when that happens.
Yeah, and I mean, it takes the pressure off the guys at the top. And during the 2 months where the Giants were the worst team in baseball, or among the worst teams in baseball, if they didn't score in the Buster Hunter Sandoval time of the lineup, you had to wait till that came around again for another chance to score. And this is more like what it was in the first 2 months of the season, where 1 through 8, you can be dangerous 1 through 9 when Bumgarner's hitting. I was joking with Bumgarner after the game. I mean, he definitely was going for a grand slam there with the bases loaded. And I asked him, were you just trying to poke a single to right there? And he said, I don't really know how to do that.
I was hoping he wouldn't pull an oblique.
Yeah.
You know, because he was cranking it up, I'll tell you that. Henry, how does this thing play out? There's, as I say, 15 to go. There's an eternity to go. Dodgers go on a big road trip. The Giants have a 10-game road trip as well. How does this whole thing play out?
Well, I think the Giants have a bigger hurdle to overcome for two reasons. First of all, there will be 3 games in L.A., and it's not that the Giants can't win there, but it will be 3 games in the Dodgers Park. I think one thing that bodes well for the Dodgers and the Giants will have to overcome is that the Dodgers still have 6 games left with the Rockies, whom they've beaten up. The Giants couldn't beat them up. The Giants had a losing record against the Rockies. Meanwhile, the Giants have 7 left against the Padres, and the Padres are one of those teams where every game is like 2-1 and 3-2, and you just can't make a mistake, and they have the pitching to win. So the schedule looks better for the Dodgers right now than it does for the Giants. Now, of course, you play the games. There's no guarantees. The Dodgers have some pitching issues now. They have Kershaw, Greinke, and Ryu, but we don't know if Ryu's going to throw another pitch this year. And the guys they have coming in to fill in the back end of the rotation are not as good as the guys who have been filling in for the back end of the Giants' rotation. So, I mean, the Giants do, I don't know, momentum is one of those buzzwords that people start arguments over in baseball, whether it exists or not, but the Giants are rolling right now. So that could possibly help them overcome the sort of institutional advantage that the Dodgers seem to have over the last 2 weeks.
Boy, good analysis by Hank Shulman, at Hank Shulman on Twitter. Henry, the tonight, and I do the stats, and I'm going to talk about this after our first break, setting up Greinke and Hudson. Has Hudson been bad, good, in the middle here since the All-Star break? Because he's got a big game tonight against the guy who generally doesn't lose to the West and certainly doesn't lose to the Giants, and that's Greinke.
Yeah, well, first of all, Greinke, I mentioned this on Twitter. The Giants have never won a game started by Greinke. It's a very small sample size. It's five games. But the Brewers and Dodgers are 5-0 in the games that Greinke started against the Giants. That includes three games this year. In fact, the Dodgers have won six games against the Giants this year. Half of those have been Greinke games. And Hudson, I would say, has been in the middle. Even in the quote-unquote good games, he usually has one bad inning. He's had some good numbers against some really bad offenses. So this is a huge test for the Giants. Just like I said, on paper, last night was one you figured that the Giants should get. On paper, this is one you figure the Dodgers should get.
Yeah, boy, very good. Be interesting. One last thought for you, and you're going to go to work here. And I love baseball. It's a talking sport. And the question came up, and you look ahead, and, you know, we can talk about it. We're not players and all that in the clubhouse. Does Tim Lincecum get on a playoff roster here?
I'm not sure that he does. Yeah. I mean, the Giants have a history of taking the 25 guys they think can help them win a particular series. And they proved with Barry Zito that, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you make, and it doesn't matter how big your name is. If you're not going to be useful in this push for a ring, which is paramount, they will leave you off, and nostalgia be darned. Right now, I mean, things could change in 2 weeks. Like you say, there's an eternity. I mean, he could come out of the bullpen and in games where he needs to and be fantastic. A starter could go down. He could come in and, you know, pitch six, seven shutout innings if his mechanics are right. So you never say never, but right now, he can't even get into a game. He can't even get into a regular season game right now. And if that's the way it stays for 2 weeks, it's hard to imagine them sitting around a table saying, this is a guy we need right now to be in the playoff rotation.
Boy, what a story that's going to be. All right, Henry, thanks so much. I know you got a lot of work to do. A pleasure having you on, as always. You're getting better. I want to tell you, you're good. You're good.
I've only been doing this for 25 years.
That's it?
That's it.
All right. Henry Schulman. We always love him. @HankSchulman on Twitter. More coming up right here on KMBR 680, the sports leader.